I know you. Hey, Chico!
And there he goes. One man and a dog sled across the top of the world. A true story of the adventures of Irwin of the Arctic. We bring you now Dave Irwin in person in a thrilling dramatized story of his famous journey across the top of the world. A boy of 22, mushing on foot from the Canning River in Alaska to Hudson Bay, 3,600 miles across the frozen wastes north of the magnetic pole. Alone in a land of endless snow and pitiless cold, the longest, most daring polar journey ever undertaken by a white man. And now, here he is, Dave Irwin.
Hello, everybody. Well, I never dreamed 3 years ago that I'd ever be standing in a nice warm studio talking into a microphone. In fact, about this time, 3 years ago, I'd built a small cairn on the ice, put my last message under it, and, well, laid down for what I thought was my final sleep. Well, you never know, do you? It really started when I left my home in the Ozark Mountains in Missouri, at the age of 15, to see something of the world. About 3 years later, I landed in Alaska, went to work fur trapping. And in the spring of 1931, I arrived in Nome with $500 in my jeans and a big idea in my head. One evening, I was sitting at a table in the dining room of the Golden Gate Hotel in Nome. And Siwash Joe, an old Yukon trapper, slouched over and sat down beside me.
Hello, sir. Hello, Dave. Hi, boys. Oh, hello, Dave.
Hello, Joe.
I hear you're leaving your traps and getting out. What for?
Well, I heard some Indians and Huskies talking about a white fox hunt, you know, up north of the Endicott Range.
Up north of Endicott? See, just how do you figure getting up there?
Well, I got about $500 in my belt, and that'll buy me a pretty good outfit. I understand the Coast Guard boat Northland. She leaves for Point Barren a few days.
Oh, so that's it, eh?
Do you gents have anything else?
Here, get me a cup of coffee, waiter.
Yes, sir. How about you, young fella?
No, thanks. It's all I want.
And you don't have to hang around here, waiter, sticking your nose in. If we want you, we'll call for you.
All right, Pop. Don't get excited.
Hey, waiter.
Oh, say, Dave. Tell me, just how old are you?
I'll be 22 next June.
Well, I'm old enough to be your pa, and I'm going to talk to you just like I was.
All right, Joe.
First off, if you got $500 in your belt, you want to keep your mouth shut about it. Especially if you're going down around the waterfront these spring days.
I can take care of myself, Siwash.
Well, there's lots of guys putting out for the States that'd just as soon pop you on the head and steal your roll. Some of them gets jobs as waiters here until they can get enough to light out.
You don't mean you think this fella that's waiting on us, well, he would
be a crook? You never know. You never know. And here's another thing. No Coast Guard boat's going to take a kid like you up to Point Barrow. One reason they go up there is to bring out poor fool white men who thought they could beat the Arctic.
I know, Siwash, but that's one reason I want to try it.
Why, you ain't catched in the head, are you?
Well, I don't think so. But I can't explain the whole thing. But you see, when I was a kid back home in Missouri, I was a weakling.
No.
Yeah, I had pneumonia as a youngster, and it left its mark on me. The boys used to call me Willie. Yeah. I've been trying for 8 years to live that down. That's why I always like to try and do the things they say a fella can't do.
Well, I don't know. I think I'd rather be alive in Missouri, even if they did call me Willie, than 6 feet under the ice somewhere off Point Barrow.
Well, I'll take the chance. But, gee, it's nearly 8 o'clock. I've got to go down to the dock. They said Captain Scott would be at the Coast Guard office around 8. I'll see you again, though, Siwash.
I expect you will, Dave. And I do hope them Coast Guard fellas put some sense into your head.
Well, I hiked down to the waterfront, and it was pretty dark when I got there. But I finally located the Coast Guard office and went inside. Captain Scott was a crusty old sea dog, but he let me sit down and tell my story. And then he turned to me.
You want to go up north and catch some white fox? Is that it?
Well, I've got another plan in the back of my head, too, sir.
Yeah. You're going to catch a few whales, too, maybe.
No, sir. I've always been interested, though, in what happened to the old Franklin expedition.
What's that?
You know, sir. The English explorer, Sir John Franklin, who was lost back in 1847 looking for the Northwest Passage?
Well, what about it?
Well, I figure they must have left the log of the voyage case somewhere's up there. Now, if I could find it, that'd be a great discovery.
That's pretty good, that is.
Why?
You know, there have been half a dozen expeditions outfitted with ships and equipment and supplies. They tried to solve the Franklin mystery and failed.
Yes, but I think now...
Look here, young man. The best thing for you to do is to go back and tend to your business, whatever it is, and forget this crazy scheme.
But, Captain Scott...
I won't take you to Point Barrow nor anywhere else. And I'm a busy man right now. Lieutenant.
Yes, sir?
Show this young man out.
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
Don't bother. I can find my way.
If you're going back uptown, I'd advise you to use the main street, young fella. Pretty tough along the docks at night.
Well, thanks.
Goodbye.
So long. Darn old crab. I'll show them all what a crazy scheme it is.
Got a match, sailor?
Well, yes. I think so. Here.
Much obliged. You going this way?
Well, yes. Far as the next corner.
You don't know anybody looking for a deckhand, do you?
No. I'm not a sailor. I'm a trapper.
Ah. I've been wanting to meet up with a trapper. They generally come to town pretty well healed, don't they?
I don't know. What about it?
Nothing, only stick them up and hand them what you got, buddy, and I ain't fooling.
Oh, yeah? Ah! I'll kill you, you lug. I'll take your part. Do that, Gardner. Let me go. Let me go or I'll shove you away. Take that, lug.
I hope you're drowned.
Hey! Give me a hand!
Well, what's the matter there?
Well, throw me a line!
What are you alongside the schooner here?
I'm coming.
Here. Grab this rope. Thanks, here. Now. Up, you come.
Give me your hand.
Up, boy. What did Jiggins happen to you?
Thanks. Some guy tried to hold me up and...
What?
I tripped over that string piece there on the wharf.
Well, did he get your money?
Wait. No, I still got it.
Well, that's good. Look, say, you better get those pants off and stretch them. Cotton shrinks, you know. By morning, you'll be wearing knickers.
Yeah, I guess the better. It's the only suit I own, too.
Well, see, I got a fire in the cabin stove here. You come ahead in.
Thanks. My name's Dave Irwin, and I certainly appreciate your help.
Well, my name's Ira Rank, and this is my schooner. We're putting to sea tomorrow night. That is, if I can rustle up another deckhand. So, if you don't mind, I got some things to do here.
Go right ahead. I suppose you're sailing back to the States, maybe?
No, I go trading with the Huskies this time of year. We're sailing north to Point Barrow, up that way.
Point Barrow?
Well, what's the matter?
Gee whiz, why, say, here's your deckhand right here, Mr. Rank, and boy, am I playing in luck.
And so, quite unexpectedly, Dave Irwin's chance to start the journey north presented itself. And now, Dave will answer some of the questions sent in by our radio listeners. Dave... One of our listeners wants to know about the word Huskies. Doesn't that refer to dogs?
Not always, Don. That's what we call the Eskimos up north, Huskies. I know you people down here call the sled dogs Huskies, and they are of the so-called Husky breed. But up north, they're just plain dogs, or the Eskimo word, Kengmek.
Well, here's another question right in that connection. Where did the name Eskimo come from?
Eskimo is an Algonquin Indian name that means eaters of raw flesh. I guess the Indians named them that. Their real name is Inuit, which means the people. And that's what they call themselves, and with a great deal of pride, too.
How many Eskimos or Inuits are there? Does anybody know?
Well, it's estimated that there's about 30,000 of them. And living in an area, would you believe it, equal to the whole United States?
Do Eskimos eat anything besides meat?
Well, yes. Sometimes they have a change of diet, like fish... But naturally, no vegetables. Why, at the magnetic pole, you're 1,000 miles north of even a willow.
Well, Dave, here's a rather general question. What sort of people are the Eskimos?
Well, to my mind, and I found them, the most admirable people in the whole world. Very genuine, and if one's hungry, they're all hungry. And if one's eating, well, they're all eating.
Another interesting question from one of our listeners is the reindeer anything like the deer we see here in the United States?
Well, they have a huge set of horns, and ordinarily a little larger. They may dress about 150 pounds. It's the chief food of the Eskimo.
Here's a question, Dave, that I must confess has puzzled me somewhat, too. Are the Eskimos nomads, or do they settle permanently in villages?
Well, now the people that live by the sea and live mostly off from seal and walrus, they have a secured food supply and they don't need to travel. But now you take the inland dwellers that live chiefly off from caribou as the caribou migrate from one place to another. Well, they're nomads.
Well, thanks, Dave. If anyone has questions they'd like to ask Dave about the far north, send your inquiries to this station in care of Irwin of the Arctic. And remember, in our next episode, we continue Dave's exciting story. What happened when Ira Rank's schooner put to sea? The mysterious passenger and the first tragedy on the long trip north. Don't miss it. Another chapter in this daring personal record of Irwin of the Arctic.
Namato! Oh, I know you! Oh, Chico!